Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. It's a beautiful Friday in the fall in Colorado. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here on the Chuck and Julie Show. Truth Straight Up, brought to you, as always, by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Just, you got to go on there. It's the only conservative site for virtually complete Colorado.
And they are really gearing up for this election stuff, too. They're a great website to check. And also, Synergenics. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it is Party Friday. Hey, and I want to say happy anniversary. It's our anniversary. That's why Chuck is wearing his golf hat, because for our anniversary, he went golfing.
Went to the simulator.
But we've got dinner afterwards. So, yeah, more than 10 years. 11 years. It's hard to imagine.
One of the average marriages these days.
Chuck, you're going negative.
It's not negative.
Hey, we got a lot going on.
Why'd you assume that was negative? There's nothing in the statement that's negative.
Hey, we got a lot going on today. We got Patrick Neville coming up as soon as we get him on the phone for the weekly Minority Report. We've got Anil Mathai, our grassroots activist friend, wanted to talk about the Supreme Court nomination. And then George Athanasopoulos, our GOP strategist, who, sort of like Chuck, when George becomes optimistic, then that means I'm practically ecstatic, right? And George is getting increasingly optimistic about the race here in Colorado. But let's jump in with Patrick Neville. Hey, Patrick, happy Friday. Thank you for your time again.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. And thank you so much for not, you know, having me follow Anil and George, because they're tough acts to follow. So I'm glad minor warm-up.
You do great. Although I did feel that the Bandimere Speedway, you were pretty funny, because Michelle Malkin, she's just, I don't think any, but Trump would have a hard time following Michelle Malkin. and you were like, okay, thank you, Michelle. But you did a great job.
Yeah, I'm just listening to her, you know, speaking. I'm like, yeah, I'm screwed.
do you share this general sort of weird a kind of feeling of slight euphoria for Republicans in Colorado? We got that poll in which the Senate race was within 5, and there's just a feeling that this is not necessarily going to be quite as doom and gloom as we always expect.
No, I don't have a ton of euphoria. I've got a ton of euphoria.
Okay, well, never mind.
Well, how do you see things shaping up?
Well, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I'm just looking at the actual numbers, like the way we were in the House, we're so gerrymandered, a lot of stuff going against us there. I'm just looking at where money's being spent. I do think that we're going to have a decent match on the ballot initiatives, but there's some that give me concern, too. Like the family paid medical leave, they're just dumping in millions of dollars on that. There's really no organized opposition. Same thing with Gallagher. You've got like this, both Republicans and Democrats joining in to try to repeal that. And it's amazing too, because people, all these commercial property owners, which I feel for them. I mean, commercial property owners are going to get hit big time. I mean, that industry is going to tank in a big way. And I feel for them, but they think that somehow repealing Gallagher, all of a sudden, magically their property tax rates are going to go down.
No.
That's not going to happen.
No.
If anything, is their values drop, the local governments are going to probably raise their values even more, or raise their rates even more, because they're
right. My observation that governments never say, oh, I guess you guys are having it hit hard, so we're just going to require you to give us less money. That just doesn't happen that way.
All right. Well, there goes my option.
Right. Yeah. I agree with, you know, there's you know, they are paying, like, their mill levy rate is way higher than residential rates. The beauty about Gallagher's, it does require us to actually reduce those rates every 2 years constitutionally. So that's why there's bills that are sponsored by, even, you know, Kevin Van Winkle sponsored it because he truly believed in it, but even Dan Pabon sponsored it, that actually lowered those rates, assessment rates, 2 years ago. And that's a good thing. And if you actually take a look at it, you know, statewide, like, still residentially, they're paying way more than they have, because residential property rates have gone through the roof. And so if we get rid of that mechanism, they're not going to lower the rates on I think, you know, residential property is probably still going to be fine. It may go down a little bit, but it's probably going to go up, if anything. And, you know, they're going to be fine getting that money from there. And all of a sudden, commercial rates or commercial values are going to decrease. And they're just going to probably want to raise the rates anymore, even more. And there's no way that I can see local governments going, you know what, yeah, we're gonna lower the assessment on commercial. What do you think they're going to say? Hey, we want to raise the assessment on residential, and people are just going to pay more taxes.
Right. Yeah. No. Well, let me
Well, I know you guys don't have a lot of money, so I wouldn't think you really have any money to do some widespread polling. Do you look at any polling numbers?
We definitely do polling. We've got our own strategy to do it. We take a look at it, some of the issues that we're seeing that are trending well and whatnot. But yeah, no, I mean, money's tight this year, and it's not helpful. Yeah. There's Republicans out there spreading all sorts of crazy rumors.
Right.
The latest one I heard is that Patrick Neville's don't go to his golf tournament on October 1st, because if you go to that, he's just going to take the money and run with it after he's done. Like, he's not going to ever spend the money in the elections. Are you kidding me? Like,
no, that's what you do.
One of the few leaders that has never taken a dime other than my legislative salary. And, you know,
well, so who's spreading that rumor? It's usually Republicans.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah.
It is.
And so the consultants,
I mean, all I see now everywhere is Greg Brophy.
I get these calls, though, like from within my own caucus, and they're truly concerned about it. Like, this is what we're here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like, hello, wake up. Well, let me give you a chance to plug it. So what do you got going on?
Well,
go ahead and plug it for us.
Where can we contribute?
Well, Chuck, you should come golfing.
October 1st.
We're having a golf tournament at Pelican Lakes. You should come.
When is it?
October 1st.
Really? Where's it at?
Okay, where can people get information and sign up? Do you know offhand, Patrick?
Yeah, if you go to Values First Colorado, VFC is our 527, and all the information's there, right. And I can get it to you guys and make sure that you're aware of it and everything too. But people are more than welcome
to
come.
I'll do it. I'll come.
Oh, yeah, he's been playing well.
.org. You can donate there as well.
Okay.
You know, there is a larger buy-in to actually attend the golf tournament. But if you want to just give $5-$10, if you go to takeback.org.
I can probably afford a little more than five. Not a lot, but
perfect.
A little more.
All right.
How much is a golf tournament?
And you like the golf too, so.
Yeah. How much is a golf tournament?
Oh, there's different buy-in levels. I mean, I can get you all the information, but yeah, if you just want to come in as a single golfer, it's lower level. If you want to come in as a sponsor, it's higher.
Okay. All right. Do you have any ringers there that Chuck needs to be worried about? No, I'm kidding.
No, everybody cheats. There's no prizes that are worth anything.
Let me ask you, Patrick.
Actually, it's kind of funny, Julie, that you said that, because I tried to invite my old high school friend who actually got a golf scholarship in college, and she's really good. That's probably the last time I went golfing other than our golf tournament 2 years ago was with her, and I literally doubled her score. And so I was trying to bring her in as a ringer, but she's out of town. So, no, we don't have any ringers.
So Chuck could win, you're saying.
You never win. There's always some lobbyist who's figured out the way to kick the ball out of the rubber. You never win in one of these deals.
Let me ask you,
but
Patrick.
But it's fun anyway. It's a good time.
Let me ask you about, Breitbart, and we're going to be talking with George about this a little bit, but you had mentioned last show you wanted to talk about voter issues and voter fraud and stuff like that. What do you want people to know about that?
I mean, the big thing that you guys, there's more stuff coming, but the big thing that's come out recently is the way that the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, has just went out and spent the CARES Act money on her own without any sort of legislative oversight whatsoever, without even governor oversight for that matter. And she's spending money trying to convince these counties to basically opening up their polling centers on Sundays when they don't need to be open on Sundays. And even Denver County, from my understanding, said, no, we're not going to do that. We want to be open to our processes and have different processes tabulating ballots, but we think every voter should be treated the same. But it sounds like the Adams County clerk, I don't know who that is, but they took the bait and said, yeah, we'll open up.
So I did read that.
Where you guys are at.
Right.
You guys can go and vote on Sundays, but no other county can. And it sounds like she's really trying to pick the Democrat areas to go up and open up.
Sure.
Well, that's because they haven't been doing any of their own door knocking. Excuse me. So they, well, you know, I mean, that's Jenna Griswold. She's just taking a page out of Polis's playbook, right? And Hickenlooper's playbook. Federal dollars come in, they're supposed to go to one thing. I'm just going to take them and spend them on something that boosts Democrats.
There is little or no honesty left in our elections. There really isn't. And I'll have to give Republicans elsewhere in the country at least some credit for challenging cases. And the GOP is challenging the ones in Pennsylvania. I mean, cheat by mail, and you don't even have to cheat as long as you can ballot harvest. You can destroy your opposition who doesn't ballot harvest, which may be in Trump's benefit for this time because he's got a ground game. The Democrats don't appear to have one, and even in Colorado, I don't notice the Democratic ground game to be anything great, at least compared to the Polis years.
Well, that's right. I mean, Democrats are kind of scared, so we're hearing different candidates normally would hit districts hard and walk door to their door hard, and they're not. They're just doing lip drops now. But I think what a lot of people don't realize with our system voting-wise is if you actually go in and you watch the tabulation process, there's definitely some room for error. But, yeah. You know, for the most part, it's not that bad in the actual tabulation process.
Right.
The fraud can occur is outside of that.
Right.
So, you know, you have a lot of the clerks and everyone else that comes and defends the process. It's because, by and large, they are doing a pretty decent job. It's not really,
yes,
other than this crazy Adams County clerk who said, yeah, we'll open on Sundays and give our voters a fair advantage over everyone else.
Right.
Right.
There you go.
By and large, the clerks do a decent job. And, you know, it's always bipartisan teams. So if you go and drop off your ballot at a ballot box, those are monitored by camera 24 hours a day.
Right.
And then when they pick them up, it's a bipartisan team that comes in and picks those up. And then after it gets to the actual facility, it's a bipartisan team that looks at the signatures. And that's where I think some fraud can happen within the actual tabulation process. And then after that, it gets pretty decent. They separate the ballots and maintain voter secrecy. And certain counties have better process than others, for sure. But I mean, by and large, that whole process is not that bad. The problem is what happens before it gets to ballot box, or what happens before it gets to the mailbox? What happens to it during the whole time it's in the mail?
Well, we've seen issues there.
Well, if you collect ballots and you collect them in the inner city like they did in North Carolina and they were Republicans, they just threw them out.
Yeah, they just threw them out, right.
I mean, there is so much about, we spent so many decades, scores of years making sure our process was honest, and you couldn't go up there and try to politic people.
Buy votes, pay off felons,
But now it's everything, you know, the Democrats, if it's all, anything goes. And you know, I mean, in Colorado, they cheated the system. I don't know how many people I talk to, and these are Republicans who kind of think that California moved to Colorado in 2018. And the reason why we lose everything is because everybody's really left-wing. And you kind of go, no, they changed the political system. Mail ballots inherently benefit Democrats who can see in the SIU, everything else. It is not because Colorado became farther left, a little bit, but not enormous amount. But none of them get it. I mean, I just kind of, how dumb I was about to say that, God, what's his name? Greg Brophy. All I see is Greg Brophy everywhere these days. He talking about this and redistricting and Greg and this. And then I hear from my Democrats. I was like, oh, God.
He took Democrat money. He solicited and took Democrat money.
He said, he's a Benedict Arnold for you guys.
He's
you
like
guys
a Brian
get
Paul.
It?
No, Patrick gets it, I think.
Well, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, yeah. Him and Mark Hillman actually donated. Greg and his wife maxed out in the Morris, too, to one of our highly targeted seats. So it's... Yeah, Greg's one of those folks that he goes out there and people always try to use him as, conservative Greg Brophy. He pulled out a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I know I did,
hey,
but I didn't know he sold out.
In A rating.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, people don't realize that. So you send the ballot through, right? If someone gets a hold of that ballot before it gets to the ballot box, where it's not monitored 24 hours a day, it's pretty easy to recreate a separate ballot and replace that in the envelope.
Oh, why bother?
That's why you
just go to Alzheimer's patients, and they do. And get
them. Well, they have a Harvard dystomy thing. Hey, let me just answer.
No way. Let me finish. They can, as a practical matter.
Not with coronavirus.
Yeah, with coronavirus, you can. I mean, you get people who don't know anything, don't care. You can make them vote any way you want to. They don't have to forge it. They just have to go to somebody who just became a citizen or has never voted and be nice to them, and they'll vote your way. I mean, the idea, you don't have to cheat. It's system. It by itself is a cheating system. And Colorado Republicans, the Greg Brophys and the Mark Hillmans and so forth, are all in on the con.
Let me, real quick, before I, Patrick, ask you another question. Sandra was saying, wasn't it the Adams County clerk that said vote early and vote often? No, that was Arapahoe County.
Same thing.
The same concept there. You know, one of the things that I worry about with the ballot, the way the ballot system is, getting into what you said, Laura Truck, was like, you know, there's a certain positivity, at least I feel it, on a national level. But talk about how kind of this, the ballot issues and the voter fraud issues. I mean, you're worried about, like, here in Colorado, right, some of these ballot initiatives. You're worried about, you know, specific seats.
Well, let me ask you specifically, what did you think about the poll that came out that showed that Gardner was only 5 points behind as opposed to his usual 10 or 12.
Yeah, I think that's good news. And I think there's good news statewide. And that's why I say, I think there's good news, you know, on most of the ballot issues that we're facing. You know, for me, it's the big concern is what happens and the way the registration works and the way it's so easy. So like a great example of this is we had a person who actually voted on the same day or might have been the next day in Douglas County and then went to Elbert County and voted as well. And that person was never prosecuted.
Right.
So they're saying, well, but his other ballot wasn't counted. Well, okay, so which ballot of his should have been counted? Should have it been the one in Elbert?
Right.
And the one in Douglas.
Right.
Douglas would have been Brockler's jurisdiction. You'd think Brockler.
Well, that's where the DAs make a difference, right? When you've got a Phil Weiser and you've got a Secretary of State, the Democrats control everything. You think they're going to prosecute that? I don't think so.
But that was a Republican DA. It was truly the DA that should have been prosecuting that. And they chose not to because they said, well, the language isn't strong enough within the law. I'm like, well, at least try to prosecute it. Try to do something.
What?
Right.
It's not strong enough. What? You can vote as often as you want? What?
It's crazy. It's never crazy.
Yeah, they're saying they couldn't improve his intent, I think is the words that they said. But
garbage. Lying, dishonest, crooked DAs. You get somebody votes in two different counties twice, and you kind of go, I don't know. That statute is very confusing.
I don't understand why you thought you could do that.
And on the other hand, too, it's not like our sheriff here in Douglas County, he's endorsing Democrats as commissioner, and who's been like not pro-gun whatsoever, is going to actually do any sort of investigation and preventative measures on this and start monitoring these ballot boxes and coming through those videotapes to make sure that people aren't dropping off piles and piles of ballots and then trying to identify those people.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But I mean, just to show how this goes, so we saw this in 2018. We had some districts where things were looking pretty decent, right? We looked like we were up 2 to 5 points. And then all of a sudden, as the votes kept coming in, man, we just got wiped out at the end.
Yes.
The votes just kept coming in 2 or 3 days after the election happened. And quite frankly, I heard stories about how they were literally busing in people
from
certain districts from other districts and making them same day register because that's allowed in Colorado. So even though statewide we might have a chance, what's really tough for me running state house races is they can easily bus in 200-300 people into a district and have them same day register in that district and vote in that district.
Right.
And their vote gets counted.
Right. Right. Well, and that's a question I have too. It's like, so if they're registering these same people who've never been registered before, if they're registering homeless people, which they do, what are they comparing their signature to? Right. It's like, so they compare the signatures and they throw it. I mean, so how do you even know? There is just so much of a room for mess. Let me, final question for you, because we got a Neil Mathai coming up. He's got to follow you today. Anything else out there you want? We got your golf tournament, so people can go to.
Sign me up for that, baby.
Well, you have to sign yourself up. Values first.
I don't,
I'll, the minion, me will do it. What else do you want people to know about, Patrick?
You know, yeah, just go, like I always say, go to tipbackco.org. That's kind of our grassroots arm. We've had a lot of trouble. The big business lobby corps doesn't like Republicans right now because, well, we're in the minority. So they want to play games and they think that, oh, well, a great example of this is the oil and gas industry. You know, if you look at some of the Tracer reports, it was almost even amounts they gave Democrats and Republicans in the House 2 years ago. And they think, oh, we can just buy favor if we donate, which doesn't work. I mean, basically, instead of, you know, biting the hand that feeds them, they're feeding the dog that's biting their hand.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that going on. So what we've done is we've set up that grassroots arm, and we're hoping that that continues and that we can build upon that with a long-term game in mind. So Republicans get so focused on, okay, it's election season, so let's stand up for just 60 days and
right
on the 60 days only, and that's all we got to do, and then everyone, you know, goes home after
goes
that.
Home
in my mind, we got to have a longer game plan. So this election is important. It's very important for Trump. It's very important for Gardner. In the House, I think we can gain some seats. I think it's going to be tough for us to get a majority overall. But, you know, we need to just keep building that ground game and build that grassroots game up.
Yeah,
and that's what we're truly focused on. And that's what TakeBackCO.org is doing.
All right. Great, perfect.
Great.
All right, Patrick, thank you. Appreciate
care,
your
Patrick.
Time. Have a great weekend. And we'll get Chuck signed up.
See you on October 1st.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks.
And now we got our other great Republican here, Neil Mathai, former chairman of the Douglas County Republicans.
Adams County.
Adams, one of those.
One of those counties.
Adams, where do we live? Adams County.
And, hey, Neil.
And so, you know, see if he's feeling any more optimistic. We're trying to. We're trying.
I'm still
where do we?
Julie, that doesn't matter. Julie's always optimistic.
Hey, Neil.
Where do we start, Chuck? Where do we start?
Well, that's
can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, you sound good. So what, talk a little bit about, you know, where do you want to start? Okay. We can sort of talk broad and then narrow it down in terms of what.
Whatever you want to talk about.
Whatever, how you think things are looking here in Colorado.
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be here. I mean, right after Patrick, I mean, he's our leader, and uh-huh. he's just a patriot. And people have to understand that he's getting attacked and brutalized by a lot of Democrats in the party. And people have to understand that not everybody in the Republican Party here in Colorado is a Republican. And so I think, you know, after November, we'll have to figure out what to do, because either this party's alive or it's dead. So that's important to understand, that we don't have a unified party.
No.
Unified, well, and not even, you know, and worse than that, what you have is, I think it does break down largely into grassroots and then establishment people. And it's not even just not unified. The establishment people openly try to destroy the grassroots people.
And
right?
The whole party. They don't care.
That Gary Kirkland guy who is openly campaigning against Casper Stock. I mean, just shut up, right? He's not even in your district. You can't even vote for him. Why are you a Republican trashing Cat? You made him drop out of the one race. Well, let me ask you, Neil, your take, because we got jealous because you were saying you were mentioning you'd call Peter Boyles to talk about the Supreme Court. I'm like, great, we need you, Neil. We need you, Neil. What do you see happening there? And do you see? Because I know you're big on the Constitution, which the Democrats seem bound and determined to get rid of one way or the other.
Yeah, we're in dangerous times. I mean, I predicted this months ago, maybe years ago. I mean, we're not living in America, ironically. We're living in a country that we're about to lose. You know, you get people, you know, just they still have their heads in the sand, you know, heads in the ground. And, you know, everyone needs to be all hands on deck. I mean, I think even Lauren Boebert's race,
right.
You got Republicans attacking her on the Western Slope. It's just unbelievable. You know, this is how.
Who's attacking her on the Western Slope?
Throughout Facebook, there's some of these rhinos that are attacking her.
Give us a name.
I gotta go back and look at who the person was. But it, just in general, I know what these people are. But just in general, this is what they do, because it's all about power. But. You know, with the Supreme Court here, you know, I don't know. Did the president announce anybody today? I didn't.
No,
I think tomorrow.
I think tomorrow.
He's doing it tomorrow. It appears that it's Amy Coney Barrett. Chuck is a little worried that he's going to kind of go take a hard turn someplace that he shouldn't go. But nobody is waving anybody off that. So my sense would
everybody's
be that that's
correct. Everybody's guessed it's Amy Coney Barrett. I think she'd be great.
I think she would be awesome. And I think, you know, they need to confirm within the next 2-3 weeks. I don't even know at this point why even have a confirmation hearing. That's a
because
it'll
be great. Because all the Democrats will be their awful selves. And you know, this nice, you know, mother of seven, and they'll be attacking her, calling her a bigot. It'll be wonderful.
We'll
love it. It'll be great. We have to have a hearing. I mean, we got to get
Kamala Harris to say something stupid.
To say snarky things to her and stuff. It'd be great.
So I think, though, in the short term, you know what? The confirmation hearing, Chuck and Julie, it works to the Republicans' advantage because these people are straight up crazy on the Democrat side. So you want that right before an election. but if we can nominate and move fast on her, if she's the nominee, I do want her to be the nominee. This is just a win-win for Republicans across the country and the president overall. But even in this state, you can't win. it'll be dark blue here. Then the rhinos will always attack the conservatives. You know, if a Lauren Boebert loses her race, they're going to come back and say, Tipton would have been the obvious winner. And this is what they do. They try to manipulate everyone, act like they're trying to unify. They're not. They're undercutting everybody on the grassroots conservative side. And Patrick can tell you that. Others can tell you that, you know?
Right.
Well, you get Lois Landgraf, the Friends for the Future. If there's any group that are retrogrades for the present, it's Friends for the Future. They are morally, ethically, and every other way degenerates, unfit. We ought to give them a free scholarship to NYU or something.
Send them to California. Well, it does make it harder, Anil. The one hope I have is that because the consultants, the Rhino consultants, are trying to trash and shoot down.
We're trying to be optimistic.
Shoot down, you know, grassroots Republican candidates. They're destroying their own, source of income, right? Because, like you said, they aren't going to need to. They're going to turn Colorado so dark blue that if you're a Republican consultant, even a Rhino Republican consultant, there's not going to be anybody for you to work for. So maybe they'll all leave then. I don't know.
Yeah, they can join Ryan Call.
Julie, they don't care about principles. All they care about is money. A lot of them mostly are whores, political whores. That's all they are. Those are strong words, but that's exactly what they are. I remember getting involved in politics as a national delegate in 2012, and I remember meeting Ryan Call, and I don't know him. He doesn't know me, but I know enough about him. You know, that guy, you know, I don't know why anyone would trust him. He wanted to open the party up and say, oh, everyone should be involved and open up the tent, all this other stuff. They, him and his ilk have destroyed the party. And then here we go, just about, just a few weeks ago, he's endorsing Biden.
Right.
And so, you know, what you need to do is the Republican grassroots need to call out and say, hey, go through a list of people who endorse Ryan Call and say, hey, you support him still? You know, when the lights come out is when the rats run away.
Right.
And so this is kind of where we're at here. Is these people need to be exposed. And unless that cancer is removed, there is nothing that can happen here in Colorado. I want it to win. I want the president to win. But I'm telling you, we can't. This state is just completely mad because it is close to California and East Coast Republican mentality.
Well, you have to realize, who's the biggest contributor to Republican politics? It's Phil Anschutz. Just read Denver Gazette and Colorado Politics and see what the, you know, it's left wing Denver Post 5 years ago. And every once in a while, they are bipartisan.
Well, they carry Reuters articles.
Yeah, AP articles, Reuters articles. But every once in a while, they do some suck-up piece on Both Ways Bob, Beautre, or any of the other kind of pathetic. If you're a Republican and peer in Colorado politics, you suck. You suck. If it's a nice article.
Yeah, have the trash patch.
So if you want to find out who sucks, just go to Colorado politics and see any nice article, any mean articles. Then you know that's
then
a good
like
guy.
That person.
Bad articles.
It's so true. I mean, just find out who these rhinos are attacking, and that's the Patriots, you know.
Yeah.
And then find out who they're kissing up to, and that's the one you don't want. You know?
Right.
Well,
right.
My concern is that they're going to be, you know, that part of the Colorado model, they're going to be exporting that as well, right? That one of the Democrats' strategies is to go ahead and play, as we've seen in Colorado, in Republican politics and pour money into Republican politics. This is why you have all these people on one hand doing it. And I think the more that they change the election laws, the more they swing stuff on a national level. I mean, you read some of the stuff they want to do with the voting, like it doesn't even have to be that you can count ballots up till 9 days after the election in some states, matter what the post doesn't even have to have a postmark. It's like, insanity, right? And they don't want to, some of the states have gotten rid of the signature verification. I got a feeling that this is all, that these rhino Republicans, I mean, if you're in another state, they're moving to your state too, I think, as soon as they finish like locusts eating whatever there is to take over here.
Of course, all they need now is if they can get Texas, basically they have a lot of things locked up. If they can get Texas and Florida, they have it locked up. But here in Colorado, I mean, you both remember, you both a few years ago fought against Amendment Y and Z. I was with you. We tried to oppose all of that. As a state executive member on the Republican state party, I was a state committee. I put a motion down to stop open primary in this state, and everyone went with Jeff Hayes. Two-thirds went with Jeff Hayes. Remember that guy who destroyed the party with the worst results? And so, but I think there's opportunities here if we can, you know, Polis sees what's going on here. He can continue with his king edict of putting masks, forcing people with stupidity. The data doesn't back up any of this stuff. But he sees how people, especially on our side, have been scared and follow along. And so they have us. Until the people stand up, it's going to be very difficult. We got to win. Like I said before, we have to get involved in local school board races. Right. In Westminster, they're trying to do a recall on the water issue with the mayor, a Republican mayor, and three Democrats.
How's that coming, by the way?
We got to recall these people.
Yeah.
Any other updates?
All I've heard last, Chuck, is that it's slow on signatures. I think they might have 1,000 signatures, and they need like 7,000. So I don't know the latest information, but we need more Westminster residents to sign up for that, you know? And I'm going to sign up for it too, ASAP. So
we did too. All right, hey, Anil, listen, we will let you go. I know certain people have to work. So thank you. Thank you for your time. As always, you were great. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Neil.
Thanks so much. Love you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, you too. All right, hey, before we go to George Anthonisopoulos, we've got Kenny Bandemir from Sugar
Kenny.
City.
Yeah, great. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Kenny, happy Friday.
Very good. Good to see you guys. I have always enjoyed the show, and just so thankful you guys are up there with the
I'm curious. You know, at KNUS, it didn't go down to Sugar, Colorado, so how'd you get to be listening to our show? We're very thrilled that you are.
I was on YouTube. This is a while back, like 6 months ago or more. And it was a listing on there.
All right, great.
Yay!
I'm always interested to see what God's doing in different ways. And so I just tried you guys, and it's been a marvelous
thank you. And you're right. That's what? I got to say, Kenny, and thank you for saying that. It has been totally, as they say, a God thing. I mean, it's astonishing to me. It's astonishing.
He is raising up people in ways that is just amazing. I mean, if you can't see his hand at work, you can't see. I mean, it's just a lot of fun.
How are they, you know, one of the things that just increasingly makes me angry are the things that, you know, you can riot in downtown Denver again over Breonna Taylor without even going into how ridiculous that is. But John Bandemir still is, you know, he's being sued by Jefferson County. I mean, how are things going there? Do you have any updates for us? Or, I mean, thank God for your family.
They had a family meeting I wasn't able to go to. I'm kind of a black sheep because I do ranching and different things and busy this time of year, but they did have a family meeting with the two different lawyers, and from different siblings said it was outstanding. I have some outlaws, you know, that they're wonderful people, but some of them are not politically motivated in a lot of ways.
Right.
And you know how that goes. And man, some of them that have been totally benign to this stuff were just thrilled with what's going, you know, with what Johnny's doing. And man, it's getting some of the middle of the road people involved.
Motivated.
And even in the family, that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
Well,
do you think
that it's broader? Yeah. I got to wonder if, like you said, there've been a ton of people out there, cause I have friends who are like this too, who really aren't very political. They just kind of want to live their life and be left alone. But all of a sudden they're angry about stuff, or their business has been affected by this, right? They're like, hey, I'm just minding my own business, paying my taxes. And all of a sudden now I have to close my nail salon. I have to close my restaurant, or I have to, you know, do whatever. I think that there might be more people out there like that than we think. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this has been devastating to small business. I mean, and I think that's the point that Johnny's really, the torch that he's trying to carry is, you know, your Walmarts, your Home Depots, you know, your corporates have benefit, not just been affected, they've benefited from this.
Right.
And your small mom and pop business owner has just taken it on the chin.
Right.
And that's the great thing about Trump, that I think that that message is getting through. They showed a video, I believe it was yesterday, of a lady at a, I think it was her son's football game or something like that, being arrested.
Right. Right. Right.
A mask. And my son showed it to me last night, and I'm she's sitting by herself out in open air and literally being
arrested. Yes.
For not having a mask. And that's compiled with devastating small business. If that doesn't affect you, if that doesn't concern you, you don't have a whole lot of blood pumping through your veins. my wife, she loves history. And she read me a phrase today that was just by Harriet Tubman. It said, "I could have freed thousands more, only if they knew they were slaves." And that's what we got to pray for, is that people will pay attention.
Right.
Here in Sugar City, we had some black families move here from the Bronx, New York. I mean, you talk about a parody. I mean, and we were putting some, 90% of this town is Trump friendly.
Right.
And I didn't know these people at all, and we were putting some signs up, and one guy, black gentleman, came up, didn't know him from Adam. He says, "Man, Mr. Bannerman, can I have one of those signs for my yard?" And
there
I just gave him a hug. Just said,
"All right, well, Kenny, we got to let you go. Thank you so much for listening, for calling in. We are so thrilled to have you."
Anytime.
Keep up the good
anytime.
Work. Thank you.
All right,
guys.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Now we move on to our good friend, George Anthonisopoulos, a grassroots strategist, a Republican strategist.
Working for an evil banking firm.
But George is very good at digging through the numbers and being able numbers, but explain what the numbers mean. So George, once again, thank you for your time on a Friday.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what do the numbers tell us? It's more than reading the tea leaves.
So we started off, I'm not sure if you're listening earlier, I said, we're feeling this enthusiasm. We even got the amen. And so we said, Patrick, how's it looking?
Here's what I will tell you. I'm looking at the numbers and I'm looking at disclosure reports. And I called you when I found this the other day.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Cory Gardner and the Republicans are going to do better than expected this election cycle. And I am not, nor are any of us on the line right now, known for being blind witnesses to Cory's campaign and his efforts to be reelected. Right. We've been critical. Let's put it kindly and say critical of the way he's run his campaign.
Right.
Also, Ken Buck, we've been critical about the way he's run the state party. Now, there haven't been any disclosures recently from the Cory Gardner campaign, but I can look at the federal committee of the Colorado Republican Party, and what I'm seeing is very promising. I'm seeing huge expenditures for paid walkers, payroll, costs associated with over $1 million in payroll. $500,000 specifically for paid walkers. We're talking the costs associated with having a large staff, everything from employee benefits to payroll taxes to payroll processing fees. We're talking about almost 2/3 of the total amount spent going towards expenses. Now, mind you, the payroll, if they are not smart, they're dedicating most of this staff to working the phone lines, which if the state party is listening,
don't do that.
Put those people on the street.
Right.
I get the phone calls, but you are paying you're paying for campaign sidekick. Get them out knocking doors and entering data into that database.
Right. Right. Well, explain George to folks, because we talk about it a lot here, but sometimes I think some of the election tactics can be confusing, but that's what the Democrats have been so great on, right? They've created a system where it doesn't matter who the candidate is, it's the system and the mechanics that get them elected.
Well, have you looked at the Hickenlooper?
You just interrupted me, and it's our anniversary.
I know, but that's in celebration of our marriage. Have you looked at Hickenlooper? The Democrats have built a machine.
Yeah. And that's how they get all of their candidates elected. They've had some good ones. Most of them are terrible. Like Jenna Griswold did not get elected based on the merit of her campaign or her ability as a candidate.
Right.
Let's just be honest. She rode the coattails of the Jared Polis machine.
Right.
Now, what I'm seeing out of Colorado Republicans in the expenditure reports, because it's like they say about people, like, don't tell me who their friends are, tell me who their enemies are, and I'll be able to judge them as a person. Well, don't tell me what you want to do, show me how you're spending your money, and I'll tell you if your campaign is good or not. Now,
Have you looked at Hickenloopers? What does that show?
It shows that they've got the B team out there for Hickenlooper. They are clearly taking Colorado for granted.
Yeah.
And Cory Gardner has built up, you know, based on the last reporting period that I can see, he had over $10 million cash on hand. Now, if he is smart, which I think he is.
He's getting smarter.
And despite historical evidence to the contrary, and again, I am not a Cory Gardner cheerleader. For me, it's all about the numbers, and it always has been. So if he is spending his money, if this is part of a concerted effort in cooperation with the Colorado Republican Party, they're going to catch the Democrats with their pants down. They're going to get sucker punched, and they're not going to see it coming. And the Democrats, they are taking Colorado for granted. They've got the B team out there working for Hickenlooper. And if Cory Gardner puts millions of dollars, he doesn't even have to put the majority of his $10 million cash on hand into the ground game. But if he puts a third, that is significant, because the Democrats do not have the Jared Polis ground game of 2018 out there knocking doors.
And we're seeing some dismay on a national level from Democrats, right? I mean, they're like, not only is Biden not coming out of the basement, none of their typical ground game people are coming out of the basement. And traditionally, you know, the Democrats are trying to say, oh, well, we're just texting people. But I think, you know, having been there on the Republican side, the phone calls and texts are not nearly the same as knocking on a person's door, developing that kind of, and then going back and making sure that they voted. So, you know, I think it's not just Colorado, but I we're kind of seeing that on a national level in some places, I think, don't you?
Well, on the national level, one of the reasons you're seeing such emphasis on changing the way ballots are distributed and then the legal challenges that they're preparing for post-election, part of that is because they can't deploy a ground game like they've done in the past because you cannot say COVID is the worst thing in the whole world while at the same time sending out paid staff to knock on doors.
Can't be
both. So they've made their COVID bed, and unfortunately they have to lie in it. So they are trying to distribute mail ballots to everybody. They're getting ready for their legal challenges. Whereas Republicans, against all odds and against what I would have thought even a couple of months ago, are doing the smart thing. Even here in Colorado. And again, nobody is more shocked than I am.
You've been saying this. Let me ask you this, George. One of the things that really worries me, because I'm hoping we're not, again, being outmaneuvered by the Democrats, and I don't think we are, but my sense from reading it, Breitbart, you sent it to us, had a great, it's long, but I encourage folks, if you haven't looked at it, it's worth the lengthy read, because it's not just sort of like saying stuff, they back it up, about all of the steps the Democrats are taking, which I believe is their thing. They're not going to care who wins on election day. They don't care who has the most votes. They expect to win and are gearing up to win in court and to make sure that Joe Biden is elected essentially by the judges, not by the people.
Yeah, but what I am seeing, and it would take a lot more digging. But
right.
what I am seeing right now is that the Republicans are actually doing the smart thing.
Yeah.
And they're doing it rather quietly. So
yes.
Colorado is not the only state that they're employing a ground game in. They, you know, we've been saying it for months, years, that the Republicans got to get smart. And part of the reason we've been so brutally critical of the Colorado Republican Party is they have not been smart. They've
right.
been essentially, you know, everybody from Dick Wadhams to Jeff Hayes, who is still on the payroll for some inexplicable reason. But he is, you know, for years and years and years, they've been operating like it's 2002, you know,
right.
Senator Allard's reelection campaign. The political environment has changed considerably. And, you know, they tried everything else. They tried every wrong answer. And they finally
Go figure.
Got around to doing the right thing. And mind you, do I think that this is a smashing success and I'm guaranteeing victory and what they're doing
yeah.
is beyond reproach? No, they should have started earlier. Qualitatively, it should be better. There are numerous criticisms that I could levy at them, but the fact that they're doing this is we should all stop and take a breath because
and say thank you
is
yeah.
what we've been saying to do for years.
Do you have a sense? Do you have a sense of if Cory Gardner? Because this is, frankly, it's Cory Gardner doing this. Really, not. I don't think any. It's. I don't think it's a Colorado Republican Party.
It's well, in conjunction. It's
in
the
conjunction,
same thing. It's
but
really the same
but
thing.
What is your sense? Because here's what I hope too. Because I mean, Patrick Neville and those guys need a ton of help. You know, with the state legislature, and there's a ton of ballot issues that are really crucial out there. I believe. Do you think it'll be like it was in 2018, where people don't split their tickets, or what do you? I mean, it's hard to tell. You know.
I don't think people are going to be splitting their tickets. And okay. frankly, it's just a matter of getting more votes for you than the opposition gets for themselves. If I were a Republican candidate in the state of Colorado, because really the state party runs as an appendage of the Cory Gardner reelection campaign. Let's
okay.
just be candid. That's how it is. And that's how it always has been. But you have Ken Buck, who despite many criticisms that I have leveled, and I know you both have leveled some criticism at him, is doing the right thing. I see it in the numbers. And again, does this mean I have no criticisms? No. Does it mean he's on the right path and doing the right thing mostly? Yeah,
yeah.
It does. And if I were a Republican candidate, I'd be calling Ken Buck and telling him, like, listen, I get it. The effort's all on getting Cory reelected. But can you just ask your canvassers to
right.
make sure they say, vote for all Republicans, not just Cory or
right.
Cory the president.
Yeah, you don't have to. I mean, really, when you go out and talk to people, there are very few people who are undecided. I mean, there's very few. If you can get the people to come out and vote for Cory Gardner, they're going to vote straight Republican. They just are. You don't have to worry about them go, oh, but I love the assistant commissioner for Boulder County. This is such a beauty. You're getting people who are Republican-oriented already, and they don't know enough about the other candidates or care enough. So if you get Cory Gardner's vote, you're going to get them go all the way down, or Donald Trump's
well,
vote.
And I think
the trouble is you have the harder part, and it's the hard part the Democrats had in 2018. That does not translate to ballot questions because they can read those and they'd come up
wrong.
And so it's,
so
you know.
Here's the thing. There's a difference between split ticket voting and undervoting. So that's first. So Republican candidates everywhere should be worried about undervoting. If you vote for
yes.
an R
yes.
here, vote for all the R's.
Yes.
Next.
Yes.
Yes.
Ken.
Agreed.
I'm going to speak to Ken directly because he is doing the right thing. And I know it's going to create, people are going to be shocked that here on your show, having me as a guest, and we're saying good things about the state party and about Cory Gardner and his campaign, it's probably going to be news amongst the political class. But Ken, put together something for the canvassers to tell them how to vote on all of the issues. Every issue.
I agree.
Yeah, good point. I agree with that.
Don't get them to not undervote and get them to just give the issues. I mean, it is interesting. One of the things I love is how Phil Anschutz is a leading Republican donor, and all he hates the Republicans more or less. I'm looking at Colorado politics. He owns it, right? Who's a big story about? Obama endorses Dan Mitch Bush in Colorado 3rd Congressional District, right? So
there's a shock. Obama isn't endorsing Lauren Boebert?
So everything he can do to attack Lauren Boebert, that's his big deal. He wants to make sure that the communist left
that we never,
over.
We grassroots people never try to put a grassroots candidate in. But that's even, Chuck, you're going negative.
I just pointed
out. Here's the thing, though, too, George, what I think is interesting. I don't think the Democrats, even if they were to try to suddenly declare COVID over, I don't think they can pivot quickly enough to get their ground game. I mean, you know, we're what, 40 days out that they can, the ballots mail,
out, well, less, yeah,
the ballots mail in what, not week next week, but the week. I mean, do you think is there time? I don't think they can recover this quickly. Do you?
I mean, they can. Remember, even doing all the right things gets us close. Hickenlooper doing all the wrong things, which he's done to date, gets us even closer. Now, there's a difference between being very close and winning. We still need a maximum amount of effort. And at this point, I don't think the Democrats can put out the 2018 ground game. That's a year to build. They can hire some people and go knock some doors, maybe. But again, they have the dueling narrative of, you know, we want to win, but COVID is the most dangerous thing since the bubonic plague.
Right.
Knocking on your doors, it pretty much gives the game away, saying,
we're just kidding about that.
Well, that comes to your other question, you know, what's a national election looking like? And if you look at everything but polls, it would seem overwhelmingly that Biden is being less than impressive, hiding in the basement, and his running mates also hiding. If you look at, you know, whether you can play a high school football game and whether Democrats are doing across the country, which has got to annoy an enormous amount of parents, enormous amount of people. And everything I look at, you know, registration in places like Pennsylvania and Florida and elsewhere, that the Republicans may be set for a wave election. The only thing against that is every poll tells you it's just the opposite, that it's a Biden election, an easy Biden election.
The hidden Republican.
Is that true or is that not true? Yeah.
It is a real thing. To what extent, we'll find out on November 3rd. When people are seeing police officers gunned down, I talk to people in my neighborhood who are like, I want to put out a Trump sign, but at the same time, I don't want, you know, if the election goes to Trump, I don't want a Molotov cocktail coming through my family's window.
We're putting one out, putting one out.
And I think that very fear, though, this is what I hear from people, that very fear is making people angry. The fact that they're like, there's something wrong with this country where, you know, if I put out a Trump sign, I got to be worried that some crazed nut job who hates Trump is going to try to harm me. And people are now, I think, standing up against that. You know what I mean? People are like, okay, we can only stay silent for so long.
Yeah, we're putting one out.
We'll put them all out.
So here's my advice to candidates. Besides, call Ken and make sure that people aren't undervoting. My advice to Ken, which is put out a voter guide that says, this is how you vote, and make it very simple. Bullet points. This ballot issue, yes. This ballot issue, no.
Yep. Right.
Put the Republican Party logo on it. Get it out to every canvasser, every county party, everybody everywhere. Don't make it several pages long.
And
put explanations. Bullet points. Vote for every Republican, yes, no, on all of these ballot issues. Get it to your canvassers. Get them on the street. So that's the first two things. The third point is for every Republican candidate, the polls, listen, drop them. I get the mask thing. I get it. It is not going, it's not going to increase propensity. It's not going to make people more likely to vote for you. The three things that will get people to vote for you, talk about the schools, talk about the government shutting down businesses, and then talk about law and order. Because a piece of cloth, as much of an infringement as that is on, let's say, my personal liberty. Like, most people are like, fine, whatever. They don't care.
Right. I agree. I think those are the issues to hammer
really
on.
Care about, yeah, the things that really people care about is the fact that their kids can't go to normal school, because how many parents are out there who are just angry?
Right.
I'm one of them. They're a lot.
Yeah. Me too.
Well, I think that's, you know, I think that by itself is one of the biggest ones. You know, if you're against cops being shot, I think that's another big one. I can remember the Nixon Law and Order campaign, so that one doesn't really.
Well, I think you don't even have to. You just have to go.
Today said no more shutdowns. We're going to be operating at 100% capacity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good for him.
And I think yay for Florida.
Yeah, yay for Florida. Hey, well, George, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you. Always are great.
Yeah, and thank you for reading the tea leaves for us. We'll cross our fingers.
And we've got our bet tomorrow, correct?
Yeah.
What's your bet?
Yep.
On who is going to be chosen as the...
The
massive bet. I'm betting on Amy Conan Barrett, and the A-man has got another candidate he thinks is going to be appointed based on inside information. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I've got Amy Conan Barrett, and you've got the field, really. Anybody else picked is you win.
Well, I didn't take the judge from Florida. I'm going with the judge on the Ninth Circuit. You know.
It's okay. And anybody but Amy Caleb Barrett, you win. You win the fabulous prize we've cooked up.
Yeah, we're jumping. Hey, George, we got to go. Thank you for your time. We'll announce the results of the bet later
on. Right, take care. Thank
you. Hey, before Chuck talks about Synergenics real quick, I want to remind folks that you can always listen to our podcast live, or you can listen later. Just go to chuckandjulie.com. That's sort of the home for everything.
Yeah, Synergenics. I mean, they help manage your aging process and help you be as young as you possibly can be. One of those elements is your heart. And I had surgery on my heart, and so I've worked hard to kind of get it down, try to get my pulse down. I mean, it's down to 48. Try to get my blood pressure. I have naturally high blood pressure. I've got that down in the normal range. And that's the things that Synergenics does for you. And you don't want to find out too late. You want to find out now. So call Julie McCall. Give her a call at 720-387-3681. And you'll be glad you did. And tell her Chuck and Julie sent you. And it's Synergenics, C-E-N-E-G-E-N-I-C-S. It'll be the best thing for your health you can do.
All right. I want to say thank you to Patrick, Anil, George, Kenny calling in from Sugar City. And thank you to all the folks at BBS for making this happen, and everybody listening on Zoom and everywhere. You know, again, if you're get to YouTube, please feel free to like us and follow us. That just helps us. And that'll do it for us from this Party Friday.
Party Friday's over, and now anniversary party. All right.
Bye, everybody.